Isaiah 23, we are looking at, it shall be well with you. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Say it to yourself, it shall be well with me.
Well,
you don't believe it?
I believe it.
Oh, my Lord, I know. Your word holds true. And I proclaim and I declare that it shall be well with me. You believe it? Because what you believe really does matter. There are folks who believe what I think doesn't matter. Que sera sera. You know, what will be, doesn't really matter if I, you know, this, if I say it or if I believe it. I didn't believe it. And these things happen. I didn't even think it was going to happen. You know, what you believe matters. It's very unintelligent to think what will be. It's a low hanging fruit because you take actions for things to be. You're not going to become a doctor overnight because what will be, because they said on a naming ceremony. Every time I'm handling a naming ceremony, I say it every time. This child will grow to become a pastor, this child will grow to become a lawyer, whatever he wants to be. Nobody can become a lawyer and a doctor and an engineer and a pilot at the same time. He's going to die. Amen. But I say it anyways. But the one I mean, that this baby is going to grow to serve Jesus and is going to be a pastor. I say it every time. We need more pastors. Hallelujah. You don't think so? Eh? The laborers are few. We need more pastors. That's why you should be one. Amen.
Amen.
See, why are you looking at me, Pastor? I'm looking at everybody. You should be one. Amen.
Amen.
What you think matters. And God thinks it matters. Because what you hear forms your world of thought, your world view. If what you hear doesn't matter, Jesus will not say, or God will not tell Isaiah, tell the righteous something. They need to hear it. Say to the righteous, it shall be well with him. Words can impact your life. There are people who your feelings towards them have been hampered one way or the other because of what they said. I'm not even doing what I'm talking about. What they said hurt you one way or the other. Sometimes you move on. Sometimes people say what they don't mean. Amen. Amen. Maybe I'm talking to someone. There are words that sometimes you don't hold to heart for long. Sometimes people say what they don't mean. Sometimes people talk in anger. Someone say, if you can say it in anger, that means it was in you all along. Sometimes not. Amen. Don't fight your husband and say, oh, because your husband said, he was in your heart. No. No, he might not. He just wants to get at you. Of course, that doesn't mean you say things that can hurt people. But words can hurt. The same way words can comfort. And so, you must pay attention to what you hear. It's too vital to your life. It can affect how you love people. It can affect relationships you have with people. There are folks you avoid in the office because they don't know how to talk. Remember then, when I was working loot, there were guys like, no, it's not malice, so just, I beg, don't come near me. You just talk anyhow. And I said, me, I say what I see now. Sometimes I say what's in my mind. Your mind is something else. If you're always saying what's in your mind and this is what you are saying, bro, your mind needs deep cleaning. You're not perfect. You can't be talking like this to everybody. And so I keep my distance because words matter. Faith comes by hearing the word of the Lord. That means you can't even have faith if you don't know how to hear. The window of your mind must be open for faith to have a seed in you. So you can't say words don't matter. What I hear doesn't matter. I'm not someone like that takes words to heart. Whether you take it to heart or not, he will settle. There's a sound going on. I said I was not going to sing again. What's that sound? Something kumbala, yeah. But if you remember, please, what was it? I said it today. I was not going to say it again. Oh, skinny consalemu bam bam, tulemu bam bam, I have never heard it before. I don't know where it is from. I don't know where I heard it from. I was taking a walk yesterday night, because I tend to take walks every night, and I just heard myself say, bam bam, Pastor, who sang it? I don't know. I said one day we are all going to meet ourselves in one meeting. You will not know how you got there. I will not know how I got there. They will tell us our gate password, tulemu bam bam. You sang it. I sang it. can you sing it tongues mean? Who sang it? I don't know. But it just shows you, now that might be subtle, that might be little, but it shows you how fast things you hear can settle in your heart without you knowing. I have never played the song before. I don't know where it came from. But bro, I sang Shukuleku Bam Bam. Because some of you have heard it today now, as you are going to, can you sing Holy Lord Shukuleku Bam Bam? Precious Lord, I lift my hands. Shukule. Because words can settle. So, you have a role in your life to pay attention to what you hear. Say to the righteous, Isaiah 10, 3 verse 10, say ye to the righteous, it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Woe to the wicked, verse 11, it shall be ill with him. So life is ill or well. Ill or well. Say to the righteous, it shall be well with him. Say to the wicked, it shall be ill with him. It shall be well with you.
Amen.
You know, there are things I just say amen to. It shall be well with you.
Amen.
And God told Isaiah to tell Israel this during a time of famine, when things were not going the way they were meant to. And God's first solution was what they will hear. You have thought God will show them a vision first, or appear to them in a cloud, in a burning fire, in a smoke. God said, nah, what they need now is to hear. So if there is a problem, it's almost like the first solution is to hear something. Go listen. Go and listen again to what God said to you. When I was younger, I said younger because I'm still very young. I'm 16. I'll be 17 next week. But when I was younger, there's something we used to do. And I still try as much as possible to practice it. I still practice it. Maybe not as much as before, but I'm calling myself back to order now. Where we used to record prophecies. I'm not saying just writing it. I had this C2 phone. Nokia C2. The number, I don't have songs. If I play the MP3, I'll be hearing different prophecies at different times. I don't need keyboard to be playing under it. You just need to hear some things again. I'll never be defeated. I'll not quit. The glory of the Lord surrounds me. My hands are strengthened to fight. I am not weak. I am strong. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I forge ahead. I don't quit. I'll never be stranded in my life. The Spirit of the Lord leads me. I know what to do. I know how to do it. I know when to do it. I'm not confused. Imagine listening to that all life. You're going to work. You're not driving. Amen. When you're driving, you don't listen to it. You can listen to it loud. Don't put on earpiece. Amen. Just saying that now. And look at your mirrors. Selah. You're just listening. God's solution for Israel appears to be they have to hear something. In Mark 4:24, Jesus says, take heed to what you hear. Mark 4:24. Take heed to what you hear, because with the measure which you meet, that means what you hear is important. It's too important. When last did you hear, it shall be well with you. From others, from yourself. And if God says it shall be well with you, then it shall be well with you. Amen.
Amen.
Sometimes we limit our lives to our own perspectives. Our perspectives are great, but that's not all. That's not all. God is saying, say to the righteous, it shall be well with you. Imagine holding on to that and say, if this is what God says about me, then I believe it. But again, as I say, he said, God's word says it, I believe it, that settles it. God's word says it, I believe it, that settles it. Amen.
Amen.
You must hold on to God's word. If he says, it shall be well with you, then I believe it. Oh, pastor, it doesn't look like it, oh. Right now it's not well, oh. It shall be well with me. God's perspective is broader than yours. Is wider than yours. Is grand. Let me give you an example. Look at your life. No matter how, I shared something on my WhatsApp today. I said, the number of good things in your life oftentimes is dependent on how much you can identify them. You have a lot of good things for you. A lot of good things going on for you. Sometimes we just cannot see them because we keep going on and on and on and on. You go back to your old self 15 years ago. That's if you're not 15 years old. Amen. Or you go to your old self 15 years ago. There are things, if they told you that this is where you'll be right now, you would never have cried. Some of you cried over a boy because he broke your heart. And in that time, he was the love of your life, the husband of your youth, whatever that means. And you were like, oh, no, no, Femi. It's always the Femi, it's not the Yemi's. Amen. Any Femi? And if it's Yemi, it's not Yemi Adesunyo. Amen. And you were all sad. Things, you look like the entire world was ending. Dark clouds everywhere. You were listening to Enya. Because a boy broke your heart. Now you're married with two kids. The boy, you don't even care where he is in the world. Exactly. But at that time, when they stole your phone, remember, I've shared the story. My phone was stolen on matriculation day. I didn't do matric. I didn't care. They introduced me to the University of Lagos in a brutal way. And I cursed the person. But I'm sure the person is saved now. Because my curses don't really weigh much. Hallelujah. It's the blessings that weigh. Because I was made to bless. How about you? You know, yes, my pastor said, "Mash shake with me." How can that be? How can that be? No, I was made to bless. I was made to prophesy. Amen. Amen. You know, that morning I said, that person not graduate. Then God told me, what is yours? A cleaner. He does not plan to graduate. So there's not my phone. But if I go back now, that's way over a decade. That phone doesn't hurt me a bit now. If it asks me the phone now, I'll give someone else. Or just put it in the museum. It was a BlackBerry Bold. It's a Bold. I don't know whether it's one or two or three, but it was Bold. Amen. And it was raining, though. It's where you have iPhone 17 or whatever now. Someone sent it to me from Abuja. I said, I'm bold. You know, you used to ping. You had your BB number. 3318 something something B2 or something. See, I still remember 3318. So I no longer have a BB number. It ought. But imagine making decisions of my life based on that. Imagine becoming an atheist because my BlackBerry was stolen and God did not bring it back. At that moment, it looks like, why did God not bring it back? You go back 15 years later and you look foolish to be an atheist. What was your reason to be an atheist? You say, my BlackBerry was stolen. Someone say, why didn't you buy another one? There are things that appear unclear now, but to God it is. Imagine God telling Joseph, you don't need to be worried that they sold you. Joseph will say, who will not be worried that they sold him? My own brother Ruben. You know, in Nigeria, we should shorten everybody's name. If your sister's name is Ada, just Sada. It's not Sister Ada anymore, just Sada. There's a way you just muffle everything together. Because it has to be fast. We are fast people. Bapam. Bapam. It's not like brother, familiarity. Bapam. Bapam. It's fast. It shall be well with you.
Yeah.
Joseph would have felt, Brother Reuben, Brother Judah. Everybody. That one was even saying that, and they should not kill me, they should sell me. They sold me like suya. And God is saying, put your mind at rest. The glory ahead of you. If someone gives him that prophecy in Potiphar's house, he said, word of wisdom. As you're only here and say, even though we are in captivity and slaves right now, the glory shines still. The glory shines still. I've always known this brother does not have Holy Ghost. And basically, if there's no one that needs comfort here, that needs comfort, it's brother Joseph. For the moon and the sun. If you say the moon again. Now moon and sun, wait till I talk that day. Wait there. That's why they sold me. The day I say moon and sun and 11 stars bow before, that was the day they sold me. And someone else says the same prophecy again in Potiphar's house. Say, I see the moon. Close to me now. close to me now. So I see the moon and these are the stars. Joseph's already bringing out belt. You will rule among your brethren. Your glory will shine. Just say, that's a fake church. It doesn't look well now. Things don't look smooth now. But does that change God's word? Huh? What do you think God will say if God was talking to Joseph? It shall be well with you. Shall is a definite statement. It is meant and bound to happen. Tell the righteous, it shall be well with you. God is not dilly-dallying. He's not doubting. He's not thinking, can it? He's telling you, if you stay on my word, it shall be well with you. Oh, I believe that. Oh, Lord God, help me. See, help me to see better. I believe it. It shall be well with me. You believe it? You know, sometimes you look back in your life and you got some jobs you missed out on. You see, it pained you. It was hurting that time. But now you look at it and say, really? I was crying over that? God's perspective is bigger than yours. Sometimes the land where you stand is Potiphar's house. But it shall be well with you. Yeah. Right now it looks like quite a number of things are clogging your mind. And you need clarity with a lot of things. But God to work for you. Calm down. Calm down. Tell the righteous you would have it nice. Amen. Amen. I say you have it nice. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 4. The story of the woman who lost a child. She entertained Elisha. The prophet came to town with Gehazi. And having entertained Elisha and taking care of the prophet said, Gehazi, what can we do for this woman? Go and ask her what she wants. And the woman said, I don't want anything. I'm okay. Learn to ask for what you want. And Elisha said, Gehazi, what do you think she wants? And Gehazi said, very, very surely, verse 14, the woman has no child and her husband is old. So Elisha said, will it be a nice thing if they have a child? Yeah. Well, why didn't she ask in the first place? Sometimes, God's blessings come in form of questions. Learn to answer them. Jesus oftentimes was asked people, will you be made old? Learn to answer them. Elisha said, what do you want? Said, no, nothing. Eventually, they had a child. And one day, the child died. You see, these stories are funny because you'd have thought a child that was given by the prophet, by the Lord, should not be dying in your front. Right? That child should not be going down. Why? In fact, every time you tell a child, you're a child of miracle. But suddenly, a child of miracle is not breathing. It looks like an irony. God gave us. You know, God has given us, God has taken it. Nah. And look at what the woman said. 2 Kings 4. Verse 17. The woman conceived boy his son. At that season, Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. Say time of life. Eh? I talked about due season, remember? Eh? I told you that Elizabeth's due season was different from Mary's due season. Mary got pregnant early. Elizabeth got pregnant in old age. And God called both of them. He said, it was their due season. Elisha said, according to her time of life. Don't run beyond your own time. Okay? And in verse 20. And when he had taken him, he brought him unto his mother. He sat by his knees until noon, and then the child died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, and shut the door upon him and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, give me one of the horses, that I may run unto the man of God and come again. And he said, why are you going to him today? It's not that new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, it shall be well. Amen. Amen. Say it shall be well. Say it very well. You are not saying like it shall be well. Eh? Shall be well. You sure about that? Yes, sir. There's a fight in your house. It looks like your parents are, you know. It shall be well. It shall be well. The woman said, don't worry. It shall be well. Was he eventually well? Eh? It shall be well. Amen. Amen. I trust God and I believe him. Yeah. Isha. We are called to trust his promises. To take them as ours. Tell the righteous. The issue is that oftentimes the righteous is listening to someone else. When he's meant to hear the voice of the Lord that says it shall be well with you. is busy listening to people whose marriages have failed. So the righteous is following an account on whatever, Snapchat, and the righteous is following an account on TikTok and on Twitter and on Instagram. And that account says, you know, any marriage can fail. It's not because you put in the work. You can even put in the work and still fail. And that's what the righteous is listening to. Don't forget, Jesus said, take heed what you hear, right? Mark 4:24. So if that's what you listen to and you feed your soul every time, you're walking on tight ropes. Amen? God saw a famine, a time of judgment, and his first solution, tell the righteous, they need to hear something. You pay attention to what you hear. The righteous is watching vlogs of people who are no longer serving Jesus. And they tell you, I told you, upside down. Remember when we were looking at upside down? I told you, I said, one of the signs of the last days is what? Some shall depart from the faith. It is not a surprise. It is not, and when I say some, you will have pastors. Pastors that will win Arabet and close church. Amen. Pastors that will say, I'm going back to traditions of my fathers. And we see calabash in his hand. Say, what do you want? Amen. Some shall depart from the faith. If that's not what you listen to, you cannot see someone that departs from the faith and says, who am I now not to stand? Who am I to stand? If so pastor, do you know how many followers he had? It's not about followers. How many? Does Jesus even recognize him as his follower? There are people who have massive followings. Amen. He says, we did miracles in your name. We healed the sick in your name. We even cast out demons in your name. That means demons head. And just said, I don't know you. Workers of iniquity. See, his social pastor can quit. There was one pastor I know. Stop church. Close the entire church. Start doing Bitcoin and Forex. This is someone I know. Prophet is smiling. Because he knows the person. You can't see that and I say, what am I now doing? There's no point now. All of us before none. No, you don't see people commit suicide and they ask yourself, why am I alive? You don't say, why am I alive? Why have I not committed my own yet? No. You start paying attention to yourself more and say, I need to be stronger, right? Come on. You see someone fail in school. Everybody's failing. Why am I not failing? No, you don't want to. You're following people who, different things. I cannot follow you if what you are displaying is not what I want in my life. Amen. If I don't want it, I don't feed myself with it. I think that's the simple life, yeah? Eh? I don't want it. And if I want it, I want to see it. I want to see more of it. If you make God's opinion about you a big deal, you have less anxiety. The issue is sometimes we underrate God's opinion and we overblow what the world is saying. If God says it shall be well with you, I think you need to take that serious. In the face of the storm, in the face of the wind, boisterous wind, his word matters more. And the bigger he is, the less anxious I am. Hallelujah. Tell the righteous. So, look up. Does that mean we have a duty to encourage one another? We have a duty to be sources of comfort and succor to one another. Not to be prophet of doom. In Hebrews chapter 10, I'm waiting for you. If you're there, say amen. Okay? That's not enough. Hebrews chapter 10. Are you there? Alright. We're going to read verse 24 and 25 together. Are we ready now? One to go. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another and much more. As you see it says, exhorting one another. That means instructing, comforting one another. It says, verse 24 says, let's provoke one another to love and to good works. That is the cell of Christian faith. The basics. One of the reasons why we gather is to inspire, instruct, and comfort one another. That's why it's not a good thing you see a brother in church and you don't know their name. You don't know the sister's name. So you attend the same local church and you say, kss, kss. on the road on Monday. The brothers will say, ah, sis, you don't, both of you don't know each other's name. You know, there are guys like that. I know guys eat a lot. Ah, Baba, Chief. I don't know your name, you don't know my name. But we know each other. Amen. Ah, Chief. Ah, Baba, how you doing? The filling station where I fill my tank, I know them. I even know the club they support. The football club. I don't know their names. They don't know my name. When they see my car coming, they say, ah, up gunners. I say, yeah, lose now. And we talk. Bro. And we talk. I say, ah, Chief, later. I say, ah, Baba, later. You can afford to do that one with the filling station attendant. You can't do that with the church. Because we have a responsibility towards one another. To comfort. This Isaiah 3:10 is speaking to us. Say to one another, it shall be well with you. When someone comes to you, don't give them doom. There are two prophets in the scriptures that are called the prophets of doom. You know them? Even though it's a wrong appellation. Who knows those two prophets? If I don't see hands, then I'll put 100,000 on it. Oh, you don't? Interesting. Amos was called a prophet of doom. And Hosea, that didn't come to you, I don't lie. So don't worry. Hosea and Amos, they were called prophets of doom. Because they prophesied the fall of Jerusalem. Amos especially. Prophesied the fall of Jerusalem. Everything Amos was saying about judgment of God, how God was going to destroy them. So, some theologians classified him as a prophet of doom. I don't see it like that. He's a prophet of warning. Say amen. Eh? He's an admonishing prophet. Not doom. If you do not do bad, you will not be destroyed. Amen. It's as simple as that. Okay. But believers cannot be prophets of doom. What do you mean by prophet of doom? Someone who consistently predicts negative events. Someone who consistently, the word consistently, predicts negative events and disasters. That cannot be a believer. Every time people come to you, they say, I'm going through this, and they say, ah, my cousin that can go, oh, that's how she went through this, so today she has not recovered. How is that meant to help the other person? So I've not been praying, I've not been saying, well, not everybody, nobody they pray. I can't say nobody they pray. I'm a person of prayer. I don't know what they pray. So all of us are struggling. No, we are not all struggling. Someone comes to you and say they are struggling. Say, I think I can help. Maybe we pray together. Let's listen to teachings together. What exactly are you struggling with? How can I help? How can I come in? You must learn to say to the righteous, it shall be well with you. It must be easy for you to say that, don't worry. Things will work out well. Don't worry, you'll be healed. Don't worry, you'll be fine. And then you follow it up with calls and care and prayer. No, you just say, don't worry, you'll be fine. Don't worry, you'll be fine. And that's all you have said. Till the next Sunday, you see the person, hey, I say you'll be fine. No. So I'm not a prophet of doom. Ah. So I'm not a prophet of doom. When people come to me, they receive comfort. No, like Paul said to the church in Corinth, he said, the same comfort we have received from God is the comfort we now give to you. Being pessimistic is not realism. It might look like, oh, that's close to realism. Yeah, I will just say things the way they are. No. If you told Joseph that the reality is you will never leave Potiphar's house because the slave doesn't leave that house. They die slaves. Amen. Because they were bought already. Whatever they own in life becomes that of the master. That was why Sarah told Abraham, let Agar give us a child. Because whatever child Agar gives, we become Sarah's. It's the culture. So the moment you are bought a slave, you are a slave. Except the Islam tell you to another master. But imagine telling Joseph that that's the end. That's exactly what will happen. You have been bought already. You say you're saying reality, but that's not reality. Some of the things we call reality is mere short-sightedness. It's short-sightedness. Because you're not God, you can't give the final verdict. Being pessimistic is not scriptural. The issue is that I don't like to be disappointed. So I just expect the worst things. So if now something better happens, I think maybe you should just change your perspective towards it. Expect the best things and let's see what you see. Amen. You see, I've changed. I didn't abuse the person. I just said, I've changed. Normally I would have abused that person now. Just change your perspective. Don't say, I believe the best, but I expect the worst. You are wasting time believing the best. Why did you believe the best? That's a waste of belief. I believe the best, but I'm expecting the worst. Your faith and your hope should work together. You your stamina. Yeah, there's a prophet I like. That's the way he talks. Are you on a stamina? So you don't want to look for the person. Are you on a stamina? You believe the best and you expect the best. So what's it going to cost you? What's it going to cost you to expect that you'll be healed? It's not going to cost you anything. I believe I will be healed and I expect to be healed. I believe the provision will come and I expect it to come. You can't be believing God to pay your rent and you're expecting to be thrown out. Except you are being thrown out to your apartment, which will not be a thrown out, to be a stroll out. Amen. Hallelujah. You believe the best and you expect the best to happen. It's almost anti-prayer to pray about something and then believe something else to happen. Oh Lord, I'm believing you for my future, my career, and I'm expecting that I'll have the best of the best. Yeah, that's unrealistic. How do you think this? What do you mean by unrealistic? I'm a child of the King. What do you mean by unrealistic? God's word is my reality. So if he says he shall be well with me, oh boy, every other news goes below that. So if something happens that throws me off balance, that seems to unsettle me, it's still under God's reality of eventually, bro, it shall be well. Learn to say it to yourself often. Learn to tell others often. Sis, don't worry. Everything will work out fine. Amen. Amen. Say to the righteous, it shall be well with you. When people call upon you during their weak times, in need of strength, don't further put them down. That's why you must watch your friends. Watch the kind of friends you keep. Surround yourself with friends who can pull you out in days of trouble. See, no matter how strong you are, there will be days where you will need someone else to hold your hands up. Where you have to call a friend and say, I need you to pray along with me. And you see all those your friends that say, Okwa, Okwa, Okwa is plenty. They will not be able to help. Amen. I say, yay! Go! Okwa! Say prayer! All those prayer friends, they won't be able to help. I'm not saying all your friends are serious friends. You just say, shall be well. My friends are not that serious. Amen. They're not serious. I've had someone call me from Dubai before. I say, Emoji, you don't reach Dubai before. As I was about to talk, he caught it. Amen. But you know what I know? I can call. I say, pray along with me. Many instances, an instance where I was about to chat someone up midnight and suddenly the call came in. He said, I was about to call you to pray with me now. I said, yeah, I wanted to call you for you to start praying now. That's a beautiful friendship, don't you think? I think it was about 2:34 a.m. Just in recent months, about 6 months ago. I was about to call you to start praying now. He said, I was about to call you to start praying with me now. Aha! So you both of us know, Omo, we have to start praying now. But your own friend, 2:30, boy, I just came back from club. Say, pray along with me. He said, it shall not be well with you. Keep godly friends. People that can strengthen you. Because boy, you will need it. There's no greater relationship than a friend. There is no bigger relationship. I say it again. There's no bigger relationship than a friend. I taught you before, right? Let me remember that teaching. Even your parents, your mom, they didn't choose you. You came. Some of you, if they have to choose children again, they will think twice. So, how more? You really disturb me. Let's see if we change in the next life. And some of you will not choose your parents too. I told a father, saying, pray for my daughter. All our friends are bad. See, this girl did not choose you as her father. But you see, these are friends. She chose them. What you will work on is not the friends. Work on her values. If her values change, her friends will change. Because she will now choose differently. You're not going to see me as a friend. When I say friend, not acquaintance, not as a friend to certain kind of people. It's just our values don't have any intersections. There is nowhere we will not enjoy both each other. I'll be boring to them, and he might be stupid to me. Are you getting what I'm saying? You might be doing something and I say, why are you wasting money on this? There are things people spend money on, and to me, you're wasting money. To some people, that's the idea of life. Are you listening to me? We have no intersection. You can't be my friend. Our values are apart. Your friends must be people that can bail you out. Not from police, hello. Kiluwadibe. I was on Spotify and there was a song. So suddenly I just remember, I just said, unconscious, I just said, Kiluwadibe. That was today. I said, Jesus, he's talking about before being born again. Amen. Bro. You must have friends that you can say, let's pray and fast together. Let's believe God for this. And they will not see that strange. How can you tell your friend, let's believe God for this? He's not laughing. Believe God. Hey, oh man. Don't turn pastor. Weary. Friend. Weary. How can you say weary? Hallelujah. And if you are the friend that all your friends are weary from your own mouth, you are also a amen. Say to the righteous, we have a duty to strengthen one another. When last did you tell someone, don't worry, I'm with you on this. I'm strongly behind you. Don't worry, you'll be fine. I know God will do it. Sometimes that's what people need to hear. Don't worry, trust the Lord. Let's trust God together. I know God will do it. Say to the righteous. Now let's go to the teaching. Isaiah 3:10. Amen. We're introducing the teaching. Now we want to go into the teaching proper. Isaiah 3:10. Isaiah 3:10. Are we ready? Say to the righteous, it shall be well with you, or it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. This is where we are going to. Easy to say, it shall be well with you, but God says, I'm a righteous judge. They will eat the fruit of their doings. And this is consistent with God, what God said throughout the scriptures. In Galatians 6, Paul calls it out that God cannot be mocked. Galatians 6. In verse 5, for every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught the word communicate to him that teaches him in all good things. Be not deceived, for God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, he shall reap. For he that sows to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that sows to the spirit shall of the spirit reap life everlasting. Verse 9. Let us not be weary in good well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. What shall we reap? What we sow. God is that righteous. You will reap what you sow. Can you say an amen to that?
Amen.
I was asking a question. I didn't force you to say amen. They don't force me to say amen to those kind of prayers. An older woman messaged me some time ago. I was narrating some stories and I said, okay. And God put in my heart to pray for hours, you will reap what you sow. So I told her, I said, let's pray. Lord Almighty, I pray for this woman that she will reap what she sows.
or was she asleep? And there was quietness over the phone.
So I knew God wanted to point out something, because that prayer was weird to me too. The prayer was weird. So he started crying. What's going on? Just pray out. Just to pray and say amen and go. Why the tears? So narrating a lot of things. But God is a righteous judge. David killed Uriah, took his wife, and he paid for it. Even though the son died, that child died. But his own children too went against him. Absalom did not give David rest a single day since he had national ID card. The moment he became 18 and he could vote, he wanted David out. What a man sows, he will reap. If you sow to the flesh, you shall of the flesh reap corruption. God says, tell the righteous, it will be well with him. On the premise, he will reap what he sows. That's very instructive for us. Psalm 128. The question still is, if you look at the number of people you have spoken ill about, number of people who have lost jobs, relationships, because of the words you said, will you be able to say amen if we say you will reap what you sow? The bitterness, the ill intentions you have towards people. If you were God, some people would not be alive. But you speak in tongues. That's not Christ-like. You can't expect it to be well with you. We have prayed that it shall be well with you, Abby. I'm now teaching you what God was telling Isaiah to tell Israel. That's why I say we have just started. Amen. You have understood that we can encourage one another, Abby. What we hear matters. But can it be well with you? With what you do to people? It's a sincere question. And God is calling your heart back to order. He's leading you back to the narrow way. He says the righteous, he will reap of what he's doing. Psalm 128. Verse 1. Blessed is the one that fears the Lord, that walks in his ways. For you shall eat the labor of your hands. Happy shall you be, and it shall be well with you. See, again, the same Isaiah thing. He said, you'll be happy. It shall be well with you. But it is the labor of your hands you will reap. Amen. Say, but God, no, say, but God used to forgive and have mercy. Yes. But you shall reap the fruit of your labor. Why don't you want to reap it? Why? Is the fruit bad? Or is the labor bad? Psalm 18. Psalm 18, are you there? Verse 23. I was also upright before him, and I kept myself from my iniquity. Therefore, as the Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanliness of my hands in his eyesight, the fruit of their labor is consistent with what God says in the scripture. This is the righteous judgment of God. He rewards people. Joseph's brothers are not going to sell him, and he will still beg from them. No, they will beg him. And sometimes the way God rewards people, look at Potiphar's wife. People will not die. You know, he says, he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. They don't need to die. God is just going to put Joseph over Potiphar's wife. Over Potiphar himself, I dare say. And that's reaping the fruit of our labor. If you do the wrong things and sow the wrong seeds, you will harvest the wrong fruit. I've told you before, what you sow, you will reap. That's not scary until you know that you will reap more than you sow. The harvest is always more than one seed. You know if you get what I'm saying? You will reap what you sow. You also reap more than you sow. If you sow one seed of orange, it's a tree that is going to come out. God is not mocked. Amen. Tell the righteous, it shall be well with him if his hands are clean. Understand what he's saying? Eh? David said, according to the cleanness of my hands, in his sight. Tell the righteous, it shall be well with him. He has nothing to worry about. But his hands clean. It's a call to order. Psalm 1, Psalm 11, I've read Psalm 18, Psalm 128, Psalm 1. Are you learning something? Ah, church has gone quiet. I'm not cursing you now. It's not like all of us are reading. Ah, suddenly now, I say you reap what you sow. You're not, you don't like me anymore. What are you sowing? You are a fashion designer. You sow senator. Amen. What do you sow? Butter. You reap what you sow. But I'm also, amen. Psalm 1, verse 1, you're familiar with this one. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Look at that. The moment you start walking in the counsel of the ungodly, he says, God has little things to do to get him blessed. It's binary. The moment the man starts walking in the counsel of the ungodly, he has limited God in getting him blessed. So even if God wants to say, shall be well with him, He has sown a seed, a counsel that works against the blessing of God. Blessed is the man. You can say amen to that, blessed is the man. But it tells immediately that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. God is a righteous judge. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. One of these days, I'm going to explain the seat of the scornful. Because it's one of the things that we are going to see in this generation in the last days. The seat of the scornful. A lot of people are going to take the front seat. And they won't know they are walking against the blessedness of God. But you are blessed. I say you are blessed. Amen. You sing the song every time. I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. Now I'm saying you are blessed.
I'm blessed.
So he said, blessed is the man who walks not. We have shouting verses in the Bible. Verses that we say amen to. You shall be well with you. You are blessed. But oftentimes or not, they come with instructions. We cannot neglect instructions. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of his comfort. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he does meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaves shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall. And I say the ungodly are not like that. Because a man will reap what he will sow. Don't forget Isaiah's prophecy. Tell the righteous shall be well with him. Tell the wicked it shall be ill with him. Not because God is going to ensure that it's ill with the wicked. No, the wicked is only reaping what he has sown. Which kind of God tells someone that shall be ill with him? The God, the righteous God, who gives to every man according as he has sown. Some use it as a principle behind giving and all of that, which is fair. I'm not saying it correlates with it back to back properly. But those who give somehow don't lack. Even if they lack for a moment, somehow, the person you gave to can come back around. I was sharing the story of, with my wife. Who else was there? Ronaldo. Was he only us? Are you there? Who else was there? Only one. Okay. And how he shared a story of how, I don't know how true this is, but I think I've heard him say it before. The Ronaldo. Man. And he said how that when he was going through scouting, they came to scout them, that his friend was more skillful and they only needed one person. The scouts to just take. And they asked them to, was it play penalty? I don't know if you have heard this story before. Oh, so good. They asked them to play penalty or something, and the friend sacrificed himself for them to pick Ronaldo. Not just himself, like career, everything. He said, no, you need this more than I do. And don't worry, you're built for greatness. And he allowed him. Will the friend have been in Ronaldo today? We will never know. And years later, Ronaldo took the man, established a company for him, bought him cars and houses, and gave him some cash. Amen. And I thought to myself, those who sow, reap. If you sow of the flesh, you have the flesh with corruption. Whatever you sow, you reap. It's basic of life. I remember there was one boy like that. Nonsense boy. I said nonsense because that thing detained me. He used to lock his locker. At wall. He used to lock his locker. And he had soup. Amen. And we know we are in hostel. Your soup can be our soup in the times of need. So he will lock, and eventually we now broke. So he will lock it, his locker is to the wall. So he locked it, padlock. But what he did not know that we are at the back, we have created another door. So once he leaves, he just turn. But he can't know because it's to the wall. Sorry. Amen. We are tongue speaking now. I was not like that. I was just participating. I was just looking. Amen. I don't have a mama. But some guys don't care. They broke it. So the day he found out, he was crossed with everybody and then he changed it to metal cupboard. And it was not just with his cupboard. It was with everything. You can't tell him to give you a toothpaste. You know who's telling now? Give me paste there. Give me paste there. Everybody preparing for class. You can't tell him. You have to reason for him to, for you to even say, sorry, can my visitor sit on your bed? My visitor can also say, oh, bunk. Let him sit on the bed. We want to just discuss. If he comes, he'll be crossed. And then one day he needed help. He didn't know how to ask. He could not even ask the next room because he's at war with everybody. Everybody on the block. So I told him, you see, you cannot even ask anybody. He was not looking at me like puppy. But that day I was bent that I was going to school him. Because oh do me. Oh Benyan Tasson so oh they lock. So then I said, you can't even ask anybody. Because consistently you have done life as though you can do it. You have everything. Now you're sick. You can't get down. Someone needs to get you drugs. You don't even know how you're going to ask. And trust boys, our boys, they don't care. People are telling him to his face, if you want to die, die now. I'm not going to take you anywhere. I'm not going to buy. Ah, boys, they will rip it all. They will rip it all. But at that moment, whatever wants to happen to you, it will happen. As I say, you are reaping what you have sown. But bring the money. So I helped him get one or two. You will reap what you sow. And God is not going to interfere. God did not tell Abraham, Don't have Ishmael. You're going to hear a lot about Ishmael this year. I've already introduced you to you from the retreat. So, the way we were using Saul, Ishmael is going to be a... If you have not listened to that teaching, go and listen to it again. God did not tell Abraham, No, Hagar, no! As long as you are going to reap what you sow. See, when you come on the mad, they tell. What did that go? Let me interpret what I just said now. Nobody tells the child, don't get leprosy. Don't be a leper. Nobody will tell you. Say, don't. As long as you know that a leper will not live in town, he will be in the forest. Okay, so we come on demand dete. You understand it now? Meaning, your actions have consequences to man and God. You're always rebellious. Everyone who gives you instruction, they are bad people. Everyone who tells you to pray, they are bad people. One day you also be leading people and they will do it for you. Maybe you start rethinking now. Say, Prophet told me that I should pray. Oh, I no answer. One day you will remember that you are reaping what you sow. Some of you, your children, you are already seeing the things you did, the shege you showed your parents. Your child says, not doing. Shit, sir. And you look at the child and say, only my dad told me, say, all this thing you are doing, there's nothing I've not done. Say, hey. In my mind, you are reaping what you sow. Amen. But I'll not allow you to use me to reap many things. Hallelujah. One time I went to a conference in, was it Kogi? Yeah, Kogi or Ilorin, or Kwara State. One of the two. I didn't tell him. I already got there and I called. Don't look for me. Oh. That conference I told you last week, that you said, no, I'm there. He said, come back home now. He thought I was still a challenge. Challenge is where you take off a melon. Come back home now. If I don't see you in the next 5 minutes. I said, no. I know if I'm a challenge, you will shout. And you tell me to come. I am there. I'm a tanke. Tanke Odo. Opa tanke. Then I came back. He said, he did some of these things, so. Where he will know, they will tell him not to go somewhere he will go. You are reaping it. Me, you are reaping it in a good way because I went for a Christian conference. Amen. You went somewhere else to gyrate. Me, I don't gyrate. I gyrate for Jesus. So somehow, he reaped it. So I pray for you. You will reap what you sow. You see that the amen reduced. That means you should work on your life. That's not too close. Proverbs 11. Many Christians don't want to hear this. All they want to hear is, it shall be well with you. But he puts it on a cross. They will reap the fruit of their labor. Why don't you want to reap the fruit of your labor? It's your labor. Proverbs 11, verse 18. The wicked works a deceitful work, but to him that sows righteousness shall be a sure reward. As righteousness tenders to life, so he that pursues evil pursues his own death. That means actions have consequences. You learn something? Pray for me as I close. Actions have consequences. God's not going to tell Abraham, don't go with Agar. You can have Ishmael as long as you know. So God now told him, he said, you had Ishmael. Suddenly Sarah is now angry. We shared in retreat. I will not share beloved things. Sarah said, you went into my handmaid. Ah. Sarah told Abraham, go to my handmaid so that she can have a child for us. And Abraham said, and the handmaid got pregnant. So it shows you that God just wanted Abraham to wait. Nothing was wrong. He wanted him to wait. And at times he must just accept. God wants me to wait. Looks like you're going through a tough period, a trying time. God just wants me to wait. Because outside him and Sarah, he had Ishmael. And he had Ishmael. You know he had Ishmael. So he got to add some, you know, small mommy. Small mommy vibes. And Sarah became angry. I started crying. I've always known you did not love me. Abraham said, me. Ow. See what you guys did to me because of you. The Lord has forgotten me. Because of that, Sarah started maltreating Agar and Ishmael. And because he's the God who sees, remember? Huh? Because he's the God who sees. God will not allow you to maltreat people. Your enemy is not God's enemy. It's God who sees. And God says, okay, because you are maltreating him, he will be in your presence forever. He won't leave you. He said, Ishmael shall be unto you a wild donkey. His hands shall be against his brethren. And every man's hands shall be against him. You will reap what you sow. Every man's hands will be against him. His hands shall be against his brethren. And God now put the final seal. And it will not depart from you. How can someone whose hand is always against you, and your hand is always against him, and he will not leave your presence? Actions have consequences. It does. Where is your brother Cain? Cain said, am I my brother's keeper? He said, God, I know you will curse me. I'll become a vagabond in the earth. God said, if you have done well, will you not be happy? I love the way Yoruba put it. Ti wo ba se dada, ara ki o wa ya obi. English cannot say some things. Amen. You sometimes just go and read the Bible in your local dialect. And Cain said, I know this is the end. I beg. Just put a mark. So that people don't kill me. Actions have consequences. Your brother's blood is crying out. Cain, even if you got saved, your brother's blood is crying out. You know, after the entire Ishmael saga, Abraham believed God. He was counted him for righteousness. But Ishmael's hand is still against him. Actions have consequences. So next time, before you do something, you must realize strongly, God is going to bless me. But I know strongly, I will reap what I am planting. This is a teaching that we must teach in the church. That shall be well with you. But also prepare on one side to eat the fruit of your labor. And that's where the sure message of David is coming. Amen. I'm going to teach you. I don't want to call it trick. Because you cannot keep doing bad things and be asking for sure message of David. God will just, when you go say, oh sure. Sure message of David, and me will sure worry about it. God cannot be mocked. You get that? Whatever a man sows, huh? You reap.
area. God help us. Hope I did not take your mind away from that. It shall be well with you. Eh? Because if you are sowing good seeds, you should be so certain right now that it shall be well with you. Right? Huh? So you sow more good seeds. Sow the seeds of kindness, of patience, of tender love, of care. Sow the seed of commitment to family, to friends, to church. Sow the seed of goodwill. Sow the seed of comfort. Where you are a child of consolation to someone. You are the reason why someone will forge ahead rather than quit. Sow that seed. Sow that seed. Sow the seed of prayer. And you will know surely it shall be well with you. You want to bow your heads to pray?